Let me get to it here. The biblical account of creation. And we're in our series, Avoiding Confusion, Interpreting Cultural Issues Through a Biblical Worldview. We just finished the deity of Christ. Just let me know if you want a book, and I will give you one. It's important. Amen. This is great. I'm telling you, this just blessed my soul. I will probably try, and I say try, to get this done in two parts. So whatever we don't get done today, we will finish up next week. Appreciate this church again, and just all the history, you know. 15 years, you know, it is a long time, you know. For the average, at least when I was in the convention, and that hasn't been since the early 90s, Southern Baptist Convention, I've not in any way, because I mentioned them, trying to put them down. There's a lot of soul winners, a lot of good churches that are Southern Baptist. I'm indebted to them for their evangelistic efforts in reaching me. But the average stay for a pastor in the early 90s was 22 months. And I just praise the Lord for the longevity he's given me thus far. It's a miracle. It really is a miracle. We've been through, you know, in this church, and you know, after the crash in 08, it was a challenge. You know, it really was a challenge. Had many challenges the first 2 years, and some of it was within the church, and then others was just personal finance. And I remember a preacher telling me this. He goes, "You just need to quit." I said, "Boy, if God had let me, I would." You know, he told me that. He said, "You need to quit." And I said, "Well, I respect your opinion, but until God tells me, then I'm going to stay." And it's been such a blessing. Sure glad I did. Sure I'm glad that I didn't listen to voices that weren't in line with God's will for Tina and I here. And I just praise the Lord. And we've been through a lot of trials, and I'm sure there's more to come. But I'll tell you what, the victories that we've had here in this church, and the lives that have been touched, and the souls that have been saved, we just give the Lord all the glory, honor, and praise. So if you have your outline there, you'll see it. I'll be sharing some overview and some introduction here, and this is just, you talk about timely, you know, when you know, the Lord knows, you know, how to do it and how to speak to his people, and this lesson has just been so timely for me. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read some verses out of there, but before I start reading, I want to share with you just a little bit of overview. The world in which we live bears a powerful testimony to our amazing Creator. Satan, however, attacks the truth of creation with a lie of evolution. Because he desires to undermine God's power, his eternality, and the right to judge the world. So in this lesson, we'll discover three reasons why we can confidently trust in the biblical account of creation. We're going to look at the testimony of the Creator, the testimony of creation, and the testimony of the conflict. So at the end of this, hopefully by the end of next week, the morning service, you'll have gained a few things, and you'll have your faith in the biblical account of creation strengthened. That's all we want. And I know that most people here this morning, if not everyone, believe in creation, that God created the heaven and earth. And then also, you'll have an appreciation for why the truth of creation is so despised by the world. And then lastly, hopefully by the end of this lesson, you'll have the ability to explain why you believe in God's account of God's account of creation, amen, and how it came to be. So in Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 1, then we'll jump right down to verse 26. In the beginning, God, created the heavens and earth. Now go ahead and move with me to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Again, Lord, we ask you to bless the teaching of your word this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So out of all the doctrines of the Bible that the Bible teaches, one that is most attacked is what we're studying. It's ridiculed, it's criticized, and of that of a literal six-day creation by God's miraculous power. Over the years, many unbelievers have worked to undermine the Christian belief of creation and replace it with secular humanism's belief in evolution. And these efforts have made an impact. Listen to this statistic here. Bear with me here. I've got to get to my slide. In 2007, 50% of all Americans told a pollster that they were very familiar with creationism. But by 2014, that number had dropped to 38%. Now, how many would guess this morning that it's probably below that now? So this attack on God's existence and his power is not a new phenomenon. Although not wrapped in a specific theory of evolution, the idea of denying God as the creator has been around since the days of the early church. Peter describes scoffers who rejected the idea of a literal creation and a worldwide flood. That's recorded in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So you'll notice the verse I just read, Peter not only tells us what these people refuse to believe, but why they refuse to believe it. They are willingly ignorant because they do not want to acknowledge the truth. A creator has the right to make demands of his creation, and he has the right to judge those who refuse to obey his laws. To avoid facing truth, people will believe the most ridiculous things and will vehemently reject anyone who challenges their belief. Now, we see that today, don't we, in our culture? We see that over and over again. Courts have even ruled that the teaching of the theory of intelligent design, the idea that the complexity of life around us could not possibly have come about by a random chance. As a contrast to evolutionism, cannot be allowed because it's too close to creationism. In reality, the theory of evolution requires faith and belief, just as the truth of creation does. Evolution is not based on scientific experiments that verify the origins of the world. It would be impossible to conduct. Instead, evolution is based on a series of suppositions and theories that all have one thing in common. Even though many of them contradict each other, when you boil it down to it, it is simply a rejection of God and His Word. For the Christian, creation is an important truth. If we cannot believe Genesis 1 and 2, which describes God's creation of the world, how can we believe anything else in the Bible? If the Bible is not reliable, it cannot be trusted at all. Amen? So in this lesson, we'll study three reasons why we can confidently believe in the biblical account of creation. Now, this isn't in my notes, but I'm going to share it anyways. See, what we do here, what happens here is, this is our next point. Point number one, the testimony of a creator. The world we live in right now, and the evolutionary crowd, if you want to say it like that, that rejects God and rejects His Word, what they do is and this has been repeated over decades. When did the Bible come out of the schools that taught that God created the heavens and earth? In the 50s, right? And ever since that time, they have been saying over and over again and teaching in the schools and on the media and any platform they can, the devil's crowd, right, that this world was created, this world was not created, that it came out of some big bang, right? Right? And you remember in our past studies, we looked at the watch everything points to this world of an intelligent designer. But here's what the devil does. The devil is a liar. Amen? Remember what Ephesians 6 says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you something. We are living in a day to where not only do they want to tell you, right, shove it down your throat, that God did not create the heavens and an earth, but they're going to tell you, you must believe in evolution. And we need to categorically reject it, period. But this lie of evolution has been propagated by the devil's crowd for before I was born, amen? Like Steve says, when the Bible came out of the schools, amen. But over and over again, and here's the theory, and you see it, you can see it in the political scene right now, that if you tell a lie, and you keep telling it and telling it and telling it and telling it, it must become true. No, a lie is a lie. Amen. Anyhow, let's look at the first point here. The testimony of the Creator. So the debate between the evolutionists and the creationists, who both attempt to use scientific evidence to back up their claims, they has one thing in common. Neither side was present when the universe was created. But God was present. And He told us how He made the world. Now, I'll stay on God's side. All right? I'll stay with God. Because I don't care how smart the scientist is and he tries to shuffle it around. And incidentally, if you ever notice that they keep adding on billions and billions of years of when this Big Bang happened, they have no idea. They have no idea. And if they're honest, or if they're intellectually honest, they'll tell you. Amen? Because they keep finding all these billions of galaxies and stars, and God created the heavens and earth. And He records that in His Word, not just in Genesis, but the Bible testifies the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. And in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 5, it says, Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declared, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? In Psalms 104, verse 5, it says, who laid the foundations of the earth that should not be removed forever? We can trust God's account of creation to be accurate because of the supernatural nature of his revelations and because he is reliable. God is reliable. We see here on letter A of our study, we're going to see here his revelation. Although nothing in science which is properly understood and interpreted contradicts the biblical account of creation, science is not our primary source for a belief in creation. Rather, we base our belief on the fact that God's description of creation is accurate and aligns with what we see to be true around us. Although many people have tried to discredit the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2, there is no science that can prove or disprove the origins of the universe, since no one was there to witness the beginning of the universe. Both conclusions are accepted by the word we would use, faith. See, evolutionism is a religion, whether they admit it or not. I'm going to get wound up, and bear with me if I get the big wheel tangled with the little wheel today, because I'm very passionate about this study. So both conclusions are accepted by faith. Believing requires faith in a creator, while believing in evolution requires faith in the chance. Let me read that again. Believing requires faith in a creator, while believing evolution requires faith in chance. Neither side is able to conduct any experiments that would validate either view of the beginning of life. Each must decide on what he believes based on what he chooses to regard as authoritative and reliable. See, it's faith, not science, that underlines every belief. Whether creationism or evolution. About the beginning of life, the world, and the faith in God is much better than the faith in changing ideas or scientific theories. So in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I'll start in verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now listen to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Another verse in Job says that God hung the sun and the moon. It is a miracle that we're still alive. It's a miracle that we still breathe today. And you want to dig into the science, if you will, and the miracle of this earth spinning around the sun in the Milky Way, that if this axis of this earth, come on now, would tilt one way, we would freeze to death. If we were to tilt the other way, we would burn up. But God keeps the earth spinning. Amen. I like a term that I found the other day, and like Brother Steve, today's his birthday, brother. Tomorrow you start another trip around the sun, right? But that's what happens. As the earth goes around the sun, it takes a year. So it says here through faith in verse 3 of Hebrews 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm glad that I don't have to get on a debate stage and debate creation versus evolution. I'd be a poor debater. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. But I'm telling you personally, I have faith because God changed my life. See, his revelation to Bobby Stansfield, July 12th, 1992, changed me forever. Amen. And no man can challenge that. But it was the same faith that I put in him is the same faith that I trust his word and I trust what he says. And it makes sense to me. Amen. Now, do I understand every nook and cranny about it? No, I don't. But I take it by faith. Amen. That God created the heavens and earth. Listen to this. I don't know if it's in your outline. Henry Tennyson defined divine revelation as this: the act of God whereby he discloses himself or communicates truth to the mind, whereby he makes manifest to his creatures that which could not be known in any other way. I like that quote. The created world shows us God's power. The biblical testimony of creation is that God merely spoke and the world became into existence. Psalm 33:9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Creation also reveals God's self-existence. He is the uncaused cause of all things. This is sometimes described in the Latin phrase, credo ex nihilo, which means creation out of nothing. That God is the eternal and has always existed, predating his creation, and is referred throughout the scriptures in back in Hebrews. Let's go to chapter 1, verses 10 and 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Not only is God self-existent, but he is pre-existent and separate from his creation. You will see in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we see that the evolutionist worldview, on the other hand, it does not see God, but what it sees is matter as permanent. One author said it this way: the humanist worldview holds to evolution, rejecting the biblical teaching of creation of all things by God. It is a materialist worldview which argues that matter and energy are all that exist. The atheist science, Dr. Carl Sagan, stated the materialist view in his television series Cosmos, claiming, and I quote, "The cosmos is all that there is, or ever was, or will ever be." Although the evolutionist sees the universe as comprised of solely of matter and energy, the biblical Christian sees instead that God and an infinite spirit precedes a distinct form and creates matter. God is eternal. Matter is not. Notice the verses that describe the internal grandeur of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is. Now, if you'll look in your Bible in Revelation, you'll see that's red letters. That's Jesus Christ speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos, giving him the revelation. And he says, I am the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I love that he said it like that. Which is. Jesus is our ever-present help in a time of trouble. Jesus is present, the Bible says, where the two or three are gathered. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Psalms chapter 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, the world, even the everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So frankly, it takes more faith to believe in an uncaused cause that brought everything into existence is matter and energy that one day exploded, bringing the universe and all that are in it into existence, it takes to believe that we have an omniscient, omnipotent, eternal God that created it all. Do you know that God, and I know I used some pretty tall words there, omnipotent, the word omnipotent means all power. And that's recorded in Matthew 28, John 3, 5, John 12, 13, John 17, 2, Ephesians 1, 20 through 22, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, Hebrews 1, 2, 1 Peter 3, 22, and Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. That he is all-powerful, omnipotent. Also, God is omniscient. That means God is all-knowing. The devil isn't all-powerful, and the devil surely isn't all-knowing. I think sometimes we give him a lot of credit where we should be giving it to God. Omniscience, or all-knowing, is recorded in, well, you see John, you could see it in John chapter 2 verses 24 and 25, and John chapter 16, verse 30, thou knowest all things. John 21, 17, Lord, thou knowest all things. Matthew 9, 4, Matthew 12, 25, Acts 1, 24, Hebrews 4, 13, and Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. And then this, just to make a point here, God is omnipresent. That means he's present everywhere at the same time. The devil can't do that. I think that sometimes we might think that, amen? But you will see that God is omnipresent. Matthew 28, 20, Matthew 18, 20, and John chapter 14, verse 23, Acts 18, 9 through 10, and Mark 16, 20. And then lastly, we see that God is immutable. And that's recorded in Malachi 3:6. That means he is unchanging. Unlike the other side, the evolution, their whole doctrine changes constantly. Come on now. He has an unchanging love for us, and that's in John 13:1, that he'll love us to the end. John 15:13, he laid down his life for his friends. John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live. Romans 8:35 through 37 says that because of his love, we are more than conquerors. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love will never change, amen? And he'll perform it in Philippians 1:6 and 1 John 3:16. He'll lay down his lives for us that we might live. And then in Revelations chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, and he loved us to the end. Now, this come off my little paper about God and if you want a copy of this, I'll be happy to give you one. But I think sometimes we forget them things about God. God created the heavens and earth. Amen. God is omnipotent, omniscient. He is eternal. Amen. He's for us. Listen to this quote by Walter Bradley. He goes, "I think people who believe that life emerged naturalistically need to have a great deal of more faith than the people who reasonably infer that there is an intelligent design." And this man, Walter Bradley, is a scientist, and he's a specialist in material science and mechanical engineering. Darwinism is merely a materialistic philosophy masquerading as science, and people are recognized for it, for what it is. Jonathan Wells said, molecular and cellular biology. Thanks, Dak. Let me give him his quote again. Darwinism is merely a materialistic philosophy masquerading as science, and people are recognizing it for what it is. So, last point, and I'm going to close this morning, is we see his revelation. Now we see his reliability. His reliability. The testimony of a creator is not only a revelation of himself through creation, it is also his reliability as seen through his creation. The very fact that our world is still held together continues to be a testimony of God's reliability. Amen. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The verse not only contradicts evolution, but it also contradicts the idea that God created the world and set it in motion to run its course. I think that's religion of pantheism, is that God winds up this clock and then just letting it run out. No, God is on his throne, amen? The word consist in Colossians 1:17 means to place together, to band together, to be composed of. God is actively involved in his creation today. He literally holds everything together, and it's only through his power that the world continues to exist. The testimony of a creator is true and trustworthy. It is not the only reason that we believe in creation. There is also the testimony of creation itself. We're out of time this morning, but let me just mention to you that God's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what the Bible says. And I'll tell you, what we need is more Christians to stand up today and say, no, God said it, and that settles it. Someone said it like this: God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But Pete, I liked what one guy came along, and he said this. He says, "You said God said it, that settles it, or I believe it, and that settles it." The guy says, "I'm going to add one more line to it. I believe it, whether you believe it or not." Amen. God said it, that settles it, or I believe it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Amen. God is on his throne. Amen. Let's spend a little time in invitation here. Not very long. We usually don't have long invitations, but we need to give a chance for a response to the message. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your time. I pray that you'd speak to hearts, whatever it might be this morning. And I pray that you'd be with your people. So with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, let's talk to God. There might be things that you just need to pray with that has nothing to do with the message, but you need prayer. You might need to come to this old-fashioned altar and just talk to God. This would be your time to come.